Hi, and welcome to the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. I am your host, Kat Jepsen, a canine nutritionist with an innate obsession with dogs and the natural ways in which we are driven to live because of them. So, let's get to it.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. I am your host, Kat Jepsen, as always, and today I am joined by Philippa. Hi, Philippa.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me. It's lovely to be here.
So exciting.
It is exciting.
Philippa is the doting dog mama to Milo, the Rottweiler, and he is such a cutie. And today we're going to be chatting about their journey into the raw and natural world and exploring a few of the things that they found tricky along the way. So, Philippa, just to help everybody understand a little bit about your situation, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and Milo to start with?
Oh, well, I'm Philippa, as you know. I don't work in the canine industry. I'm just a normal dog mum. I actually work in housing. I've done for 20 odd years. Absolutely love it. Wouldn't ever change career. But I am absolutely crackers about dogs. Dogs and horses. When I was growing up, if I wasn't with the dogs, I was with the horses. It was always one or the other or both. And over my lifetime, so I'm 54 this year, we've had quite a lot of dogs in our family as I've been growing up. We've had all sorts of dogs. We've had dogs as puppies from breeders. We've had rescue dogs, dogs that I've found on the side of the road. When I've been out on the horse, we had a Labrador that I picked up and brought home with me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He was tied up in the snow, God love him. And I went back the next day and he was still there. So I took him home and we had him for 10 years. So he was a lovely dog. But my partner and I, we had two dogs previous to Milo, two Staffies, best dogs in the world, absolutely brilliant. Threw all sorts of crap food at them. They were just like hoovers, just at everything. You know, if you ever wanted an example of how not to feed your dog, I was your girl. I was like the poster girl for that. And then we lost Sunny at Christmas in 2020. And then 6 months later, we lost Harry as well. But 4 days before losing Harry, Milo appeared on a rescue website and my Nick said, get me that dog. So I do a lot of home checks for rescues. I'm a volunteer home checker.
Yeah.
And I knew the lady who had the rescue where Milo was. And we applied to foster him. And we were successful. 24 hours later, we went and picked him up. So God love him. He was 9 months old. He'd been dumped at this rescue with all his worldly goods, change of circumstance in the family. Just couldn't keep him. And he ended up in a kennel, luckily only for 24 hours. Then we brought him home. And then a week later, Harry passed away.
Oh.
Which was really, really sad. Good for us because we had Milo. He sort of helped us through that process. So he was a godsend, really. I think everything happens for a reason. And there was a reason why he popped up.
It does, yeah.
Yeah. So brought him home. He was kibble fed and we'd not had him long, a couple of weeks. And I was feeding him this one day and I looked at this kibble and I thought, it just looked disgusting. It was like these big bricks. And for his size, he got like 5 of these bricks per meal.
Yeah.
No, twice a day you'd get these bricks. And I worked it out. I thought if he lives the 9 or 10 years that a Rottweiler should live, he's going to have around 7,000 of these totally identical meals for the rest of his life. I thought we just can't do it to him. So
that's one way of putting it.
Yeah, but it was just revolting. And he didn't enjoy it. You could tell when he was eating his food. He was always a bit lackluster. And didn't really, you know, he'd wander off, come back, have another little go, wander off, come back, have another little go. Just didn't look very healthy. He didn't look very healthy. So we thought, right, we're going to have a look into raw and we're going to do it properly. You know, we're not just going to go and get the pack of raw mints off the supermarket shelf and chuck it in with the kibble.
Yeah.
We're going to make an effort to do it properly.
Yeah.
So spent a lot of time sort of visiting different raw feeding shops, and it was like one shop had said, oh, you just start on tripe, don't give him anything but tripe for a month. Then another shop would say, oh God, no, no, you don't just do tripe, you know, you have to feed this or you have to feed that. And I was like, oh dear, this is not what I thought it was going to be like.
Yeah.
So I'd had a look on the internet, and there's quite a lot of Facebook groups now about raw feeding. And I thought, right, I'll start there. So I joined a group. And I'd sort of poke about for a few days, had a good lurk, had a read of the material that was available, and I thought, yeah, I could get my head around this, but I needed some more help. So I put a post in, and a lady called Sophie Edwards, who was one of the administrators in this group, thank God I met her, because she was the one who worked everything out for me, what I needed to feed, when I needed to feed it, how much, how often.
Wow.
She was absolutely brilliant.
And yeah. Then
I was introduced to another wonderful lady called Helena Brammer, who was on the team. Yeah, you know Helena.
And I was hoping now too, to be fair.
Yeah, she's amazing. She was also on the team in this group as well. And Sophie said, this lady, she sells raw. So I thought, right. And my first conversation with Helena about what do I need to buy, what do I need to do, was about 2 hours. And we just hit it off. And I just knew, I thought, I've got a friend here, probably the rest of my life. And I just stuck with them. And between those two, even now, you know, those two women are like right in the tribe.
Yeah.
There are others, but those two have been absolute backbones. And they really did sort of set me straight, and the support that I've had from them over the last 2 years has been phenomenal. So whenever we have had a bump in the road, those two and others, you know, well, I've got to give a shout out, haven't I, to the girls. So Rowena and Anna and Chloe and Sophie and Holly. Yeah, the little tribe there. And now you as well. You are in the tribe. Yeah, it's all going good, but it's been a bumpy road because we've had a few health issues along the way. So Milo's prone to yeast.
Okay, yeah.
So anything like any root veg, you know, your carrots, your parsnip, pumpkin, squashes, anything like that tend to set him off.
Mm-hmm.
Tripe, because of the histamine in it, that will set him off. But he's a little weirdo. Is Milo, because you know when you get your normal yeasty dog and like the paws will smell, the ears will smell, the coat will smell, he only ever gets it in the left ear. It's never the right one, it's always just the left one. But he can flare up like that, and within
instantly
the head shaking will start and the scratching. And he's also intermittently had acid reflux.
Okay.
And I was always sort of encouraged heavily to feed him raw oily fish.
Yeah.
And he didn't want it, never wanted it. I have never been able to get him to eat a whole raw oily fish. So it's like, oh, you've got to blitz it, mix it in with his mince, or buy a pre-made mince that's already got it in. Because if he doesn't have fish, he's really going to suffer and it's all going to be bad. But he never, ever wanted it, and he wouldn't eat. Mm-hmm. Now I know. He's actually intolerant to fish.
Yeah.
And dogs
so he will knew
self-select. He knew. Yeah. Dogs will self-select. So, you know, if you're ever told, oh, your dog's just being fussy, just keep giving them the same food for days on end, just dig a little bit further.
You mean like I did to you earlier this week?
Well, that was slightly different, Catherine, wasn't it? Because that was just Milo being there.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
A naughty little dog. But always dig a little bit further. We had a holistic vet come and see us, and she made him up this wonderful herbal potion.
Yeah.
And that really helped. And it was her who said, I do suspect that he's intolerant to fish. So we've stopped giving him fish. He hasn't had fish for a long time. He has an algae oil instead.
Yeah. And did he stop with his reflux after you stopped giving him fish?
Reflux has stopped now.
Yeah, that's
every now and again. If he has something that's a bit fatty, he'll get a little bit gippy.
Yeah,
but
that's because he's a hot dog.
Well, this is the this is the other thing. Yeah, or the energetics, which is another totally fascinating sideline to this feeding malarkey. Yeah, who'd have thought it? But anyway, there you go.
I know, who would have thought there were more avenues to explore? Like,
it's just so interesting.
I know, it's great. I love
it. So interesting. But there was a point where I was actually desperate, and I employed a lady who was an animal communicator.
And
my other half, skeptic as they come.
Yeah.
Me, I'm, you know, quite open-minded. I'll listen to anyone's story. And she came, and she had quite the conversation with Milo.
Yeah.
And he told her, in no uncertain terms, tell them to stop giving me fish. I hate it. I can't stand it. It makes me feel sick.
And is this, did you not tell her about his intolerance?
No. Absolutely.
Oh, wow. You see what I mean? This is why people are skeptical about stuff like this, but they always have some degree of truth in them.
No, absolutely not. She was absolutely bang on with what she told us about him. And for my Nick to be sort of convinced, you know, it takes a lot. He's a bit of a tin hatter, and so we would never have believed anything like that, but yeah, she was bang on with it. So yeah, needless to say, stop the fish. Acid reflux has now gone away. But we do still get the occasional bout of itching down the backs of the front legs, his tummy, you know, his left ear still flares up occasionally. So we were recommended to you, and now we're on a totally new feeding path.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I think I said to you yesterday, didn't I? I don't know if it's just coincidence or what, but I have definitely noticed a difference.
Yeah. I think to be fair as well, I know it's so quickly that we've changed the food, and sometimes it can take 3 weeks before you notice any kind of dramatic effects. Sometimes it can take the full 12, dependent on, you know, everybody's individual circumstances. But I think a lot of the time we do see instant changes, and that is one of the beautiful things I think about natural feeding, because not only can you feed your dog raw and natural food, which is going to give them, you know, a chance at optimal health, but within raw and natural feeding you can further manipulate those diets to suit your individual dog, which is what we try to do with the energetic diets. And it is so amazing, because then you get, well, you hear of people changing the dogs to raw food and they immediately see these health benefits. Mm. And then you do, unfortunately, get some dogs who are fed raw who still have problems,
which is becoming
more common now, obviously, a bit like Milo with his ears. And I know my Barney's got his fair share of problems. But I think what a lot of people don't realise is that they've tried the raw and they then think it's not working, because they've still got the problems, but they don't yet realize that we can still manipulate the raw diet in order to suit them, which is what we now need to kind of make people aware of, don't we? Yeah,
we do. And also, you know, when people say, oh, just cut the chicken out, it's chicken that does it. I'm like, well, you know, why do you think it's chicken? Oh, chicken's renowned for it. And I say, well, what do you feed your dog? Well, I don't feed my dog chicken. But I do give them this treat or that treat, and you look and you're like, well, it's got chicken meal in it and it's got chicken fat in it. And, you know, that's probably why your dog's still got an itch, because you think you're putting it out, but you're really not. You need to read your labels.
Read
your labels. And,
that's a really big problem. I think, I don't even know why it happens, to be honest, because loads of people just pick up a packet and just read the front and don't think to read the back, but it's just normal for people to do. And it just, maybe it's because, I don't know, I'm just so far down the rabbit hole that I scrutinize every single thing on the packet
I can be a bit easily led. So if someone says to me, oh, I'm trying this and it's really good, I'm like, I want that. So I did make the mistake a couple of months ago of buying a brand of food, a cooked food.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'll try that. The front of the packet, absolutely fine. Got it home, opened it up, and it was full of butternut squash. And I was like, where does it even say about this?
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't on the labelling, but it is on the website. And I could have kicked myself, because I was like, oh, God, you know.
You know better, but you just let your guard down for one.
Yeah.
For one moment.
So excited about trying something else that might help.
And
didn't help.
And not when butternut squash is one of the things I
see. No, didn't help at all. No.
Oh, so what? So you've briefly talked to us about how it started. Then, obviously, you wanted to do it properly for Milo. So, where has your raw and natural journey taken you? So you've gone from wanting to learn more. So where do you feel you now sit on the spectrum with your raw and natural feeding, like in terms of what you can do by yourself?
If I were to stick to pre-made minces,
yeah,
I'm absolutely fine with that.
Yeah. Okay.
But as you know, we have now forayed into the DIY world.
Yeah.
And it is not as straightforward as some people would have you believe.
Yeah, I think once you get used to it,
couple of days have been so much easier. But because Milo is a bit of a prat, he can be a bit of a resource guarder as well. So
yeah.
Some things he will cherish. So this morning, for example, it was a rabbit back, a defrosted rabbit back that he just said, I'm just going to look after this for 2.5 hours. Oh, yeah. And he just kept walking around the house with it to various locations and just dropping it on the floor and just like babysitting it. So I had to cut it up into teeny tiny pieces and hand feed it to him. And then, of course, the little darling ate the whole lot.
But he normally eats it, doesn't he? Yeah. He normally eats the rabbit backs.
Yeah, he does. If they're frozen, he's golden.
Oh, it's because it's frosted, because he left it too long before he ate it.
Well, I prepared it last night, left it in the fridge overnight, so it had defrosted this morning.
Oh, right,
so I've learnt that lesson. So next time he has rabbit, the rabbit back will come out. It'll get weighed, so I'll be able to work out the percentages, but then it'll go back in the freezer and I'll give it in frozen.
Yeah.
Because then he just crunches them. If anything's like too much like hard work in terms of chewing and texture, he's just like, no, don't like that.
So did you have a go at DIY before we started his new energetic diet? So you never tried DIY, but you tried him with raw meaty bones before?
Yeah, as a treat. So the occasional lamb rib, you know, and then a bit of boneless meat the next day or whatever. But I've never seriously thought about DIY.
Yeah.
And I think my main issue is I don't do very well with numbers.
Okay, yeah. So that's English, what puts you off
grammar,
about it.
The written language, I'm like Susie Dent. But give me any numbers and my brain just explodes. So but working with you and the way you've really helped me to like break that down and, you know, just give me a really simple plan, like, you know, a duck neck is going to be about 40% bone, weigh it, work out what 40% is, the rest is meat. You know, if I'd have just got my brain around the simplicity of that to start with, it would have been a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
But I think I just overcomplicated it, I think, and just got...
It's easy to overcomplicate, though, because even when you look at the websites, when it's written down, it's hard to understand.
Yeah.
But I think when you have a conversation about it,
oh, it makes it so much
it
easier.
It makes it so much easier, Because the equations are simple equations.
Yeah.
But it's just knowing what order to do them in order to kind of determine what you need. But everything you've done this week as well has been bang on. So
it's
you can
all right.
do it. Yeah.
It's been all right. And you've just got to be prepared. Yeah. You know, it's there's no getting away from the fact that it's not as straightforward as just going to the freezer, picking out a packet of a kilo of mints.
Yeah.
And that's your food for the next day. You know, you can't treat it like that. You've got to be organized and you've got to do your prep.
You do. Yeah. Well, would you, based on that, obviously I know you love the minces.
Yes, I do love the minces.
But have you found any benefits like with the DIY?
Straight away. His demeanor is changing. He's a lot calmer. Milo's a bit of a stress head. We've discussed this when we've talked about his energetics and things like when we had our consultation. He is a bit of a stressy dog and he's reactive to other dogs. So sometimes he can come back from a walk and it can take him a while to chill out. But since he's been having more bones and food that he's actually got to make an effort to eat, I think all the, like Nick said last night, I think it's all the chewing.
Yeah.
He said, I think all of this Because you watch him with a bowl of mince and it's gone. It's gone in seconds. He just heaves it up.
Yeah.
You put a plate down in front of him with all your DIY stuff on. He's like sniffing each one. He'll have a little taste. Then he'll, oh no, not now. I'll just try this one. Then he goes back to something else. And he's really taking his time to eat his food. He's enjoying his food a lot more.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it is just helping to chill his brain a little bit.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Because it's all about enrichment, isn't it? It's like a more natural way of eating.
Because he's sniffing
food.
Yeah, he's sniffing out the different components and deciding for himself which bit he wants to eat first, which then gives him more agency in his life, gives him more choice, gives him more control over his environment, which then gives him that pleasure while he's eating his dinner. Not to mention, dogs just do love the bones.
They love them.
Which is why he wants to babysit it. But they do.
And just wants to sit with it. But when he was eating the pre-made minces, I've always fed him pork. He's always had like an amazing range of brands, proteins.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen his food diary.
Yeah,
like,
your food diary is something else.
Yeah,
I've never ever seen a food diary like your food.
Yeah, he gets a really good mix. But pork always used to, again, it could cause him to be a bit refluxy, wasn't ever really one of his favorites.
Yeah.
But with the DIY, if you know, you see him this week inhaling pig cheek, pig tongue, pig heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, liver's another story. You know, perhaps won't talk too much about the liver. But anything that's chunky, he's absolutely loving it.
Yeah.
Pork ribs. Adores, he loves the pork, and we've not had a single, we've not even had so much as a bear part of him.
Well, that's good. And I think a lot of that is because obviously in the minces, they probably use a lot of the fatty cuts because you can't tell what it is. Whereas with the DIY, you can physically see. Yeah.
And especially with the cheaper brands, you know, your fat ratio tends to be a bit higher because they don't use, you know, let's face it, they don't use the best quality chunks of meat, do they? But that's why I always like get that proper mix in, so we have quite a few of the more expensive ones and then some of the cheaper ones to bulk it out. Because
you get a good balance that way though anyway, don't you?
You do get a good balance, and you know the different range of offals in these minces is really, really good for them to get that range, to get all the nutrients that they need. But he doesn't really mind, you know, whether it's 6-7 pounds a kilo or whether it's £2 a kilo. But yes, some of the cheaper, fattier ones, he is a little bit, not sure about those. But with this stuff, he's absolutely loving it, and he's really looking forward to his meal times.
Oh,
he's
that's
like
good.
Crying at the chopping board as
I'm stood there.
He's there crying as I'm stood there looking like Hannibal Lecter with my, you know, covered in blood everywhere.
Blood and brains.
Oh God, the brains. Oh, the brain chunks. Oh my life. He is so funny. He's so funny.
Does he eat them though?
No.
Eventually.
No. He just licks them and carries them around the garden.
Oh, maybe he doesn't need his brain replenishing. Maybe he says, I don't need any of that more.
Yeah, his brain's obviously fine.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And at the moment, I do have to just give the liver a little bit of a fry in the pan, just to take that.
We're still working on the liver, aren't we?
Yeah. And then he'll eat it. He loves it. He'll scoff it. But raw liver, but again, it's that texture thing.
It is slimy, isn't it?
Yeah. And because everything else is chunky, you can't mix it in with anything. You can't hide it.
No. This is one of the struggles of DIY. If you do have a dog that is a bit, you know, funny with the organ meats, I think that is a common struggle. But he's doing really well though on his diet, isn't he? He is doing well.
Yeah.
Especially to say it's his first time having his meals served to him in this way, and then obviously he's got his new protein. So I am pleased with his progress, definitely, because he's obviously.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, he's a good boy.
Yeah,
and to be fair, he's allowed to kind of chuck the teddy out. We're changing his routine. You know, we're mixing things up. He's probably just being a bit, you know, well,
yeah.
I'm going to do this. Bless him.
Yeah.
So
the other thing as well, what you tend to do when your dog has got some issues, you tend to over supplement because you're always like looking for that thing that's going to help them.
Yeah.
But working with you and sort of stripping everything out and stopping all of the extras apart from a couple of cooling herbs that you've recommended to us.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and as well as it not having basically a bowl full of powder every meal, it's saving me a fortune.
Oh, well, I can imagine. And I think this is one of the problems. I mean, I have done an episode on supplements as well to discuss this, because it's so easy to get caught up in the hustle and bustle of canine supplements. Yeah. And you know, a lot of them do have lots of benefits for dogs, and they can be used for a variety of reasons. But, I mean, it's just not necessary to be adding loads in there unless your dog's got a specific medical need for a specific dose of, like, I don't know, like a high dose of omega-3, and then they might need a high dose of probiotics if they've got a few gut problems, or if your dog is dealing with an issue at the moment and they need to have all these supplements in their plan in order to kind of help them recover, then yeah, absolutely, 100% go for it. But if you're looking just for kind of a maintenance level, or, you know, you're trying to tweak the diet and optimize the diet, then sometimes less is really more, especially if you energetically match the foods to the dog as well. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely. And like you say, herbs, dried herbs are so much cheaper.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, and he eats them, you know, he likes them. And for the first time, after I'd, you know, lovingly steamed some bok choy and some celery for him last night in our Michelin-starred dog kitchen, Nick was like, "Phil, you are wasting your time. He is not going to eat that." The bugger ate it.
What? And he didn't even hesitate either.
No, he ate it.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Well, I never."
It's because he knows it's going to cool him down.
Yeah, straight down the bone chute.
Yeah. No trouble. Good. He's a good boy. You see, that's him pulling out all the stops after the liver situation. Bless him. So when you first sort of started your raw and natural feeding journey, did you ever anticipate that you would be stood in the kitchen chopping up pieces of bone and pieces of liver and preparing these DIY meals for Milo?
It's always something I've wanted to have a go at, because, you know, you see people on Instagram and the bowls look so pretty.
Yeah, yeah.
And mine's just like something that's been dug up out the garden.
Yeah, yeah, but that is the common for the majority of the population.
Yeah, it is, yeah. But, you know, they don't have to look like that. But when your eye is naturally drawn to pretty things, it's like, oh, that looks so good. And it just looks healthier.
Yeah.
And you can see what your dog's eating.
You can, yeah. And it's better for the
every teeth. Element. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I'm really glad that we've had a go.
Yeah,
because I thought I was going to have to get all sorts of equipment, special knives, bone saws, meat grinders. We will end up with all of those things. Don't tell Nicholas. But I am drawing up a shopping list. And there are a couple of DIY queens in my little tribey squad who are fantastic. I mean, Rowena Campbell, their DIY is just like, oh, you know. So, she keeps promising a prep day. She needs to get her backside up here.
Oh, you mean to come and do some prep with you? That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
But Rowena's dogs don't kick up a fuss about liver, do they?
Her dogs are absolutely fantastic. They don't kick up a fuss about anything.
Yeah, I've got one of each. I've got Proper one dog. Who will eat absolutely anything. He eats the rosehips out of the garden when they're growing. He eats everything. And then the other one is a snubber. He will snub till the cows come home, literally. That's why at the minute I'm dehydrating all of the organs, because I can't get any in him.
Yeah.
Apart from the rabbit, and he likes chicken. He likes chicken livers and things like that. But, like, if I try and give him lamb liver or lamb spleen.
Oh, God, geez. Milo with the lamb spleen. Oh.
Yeah, so that's why I'm dehydrating mine at the minute, just to get some in him, because he is a bit particular, little Boris, bless him. Okay, so you have talked about some downfalls and struggles during your journey. Are there any others that you've not covered?
I think it's just, you need to find your place, I think. You need to find the people who are going to support you and look after you and not judge you and not just keep you going on this, like, treadmill of constantly trying the same thing, because that's all they know.
Yeah.
And that's the only advice you're going to get. Oh, that's not working. You need to retransition again. Oh, now you need to retransition again. I'm like, well, I've done that three times. You know, you need to be a little bit brave, and you need to try new things, and you need to find the people who are willing to help you.
Yeah.
And not sort of hold you back. And I'm in that place now. So that's brilliant. It took a while to get there, but you know,
it can be scary though to try new things. Yeah, it can. Especially, you know, like especially if it's something that you've not really had much experience with. But I think, like we're doing with the energetic diets, it is such an easy thing to manipulate. Like, it's not that you have to try a new kind of expensive drugs or medications or expensive supplements. It's literally just a few tweaks in what you're already feeding. Fair enough, you might have had to do a little bit more in the kitchen with regards to the DIY, just a smidge. But I do think it's sort of like a safe option, you know what I mean? So that's what makes it so great. But I do, if you do have a problem that you just can't get on top of, you are going to have to open up and try different things. Yeah. Like, you really are.
And I think as well, if I was, I know research is important, you know, and people will encourage you to do as much as you can.
Speak
to as many different people as you can. And sometimes that's really good, but sometimes it can work against you a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you just get overwhelmed. And,
you
know, there's all these different Facebook groups out there, like we were talking about earlier, but they're all different. And one will tell you to do one thing, then the other one will say, oh, no, you don't do it like that, you do it like this. And it can just get, you need to just find your path and stick to it, I think.
Yeah, find your people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Find your people. I think as well, you know, when there is, because everybody tends to have a different approach to canine nutrition, and even raw feeders are different between, like, from one person to the next, the way that they feed raw. And if you try to kind of piece things from each person and create a plan from that, that's when you end up getting overwhelmed and confused, because you're like, well, they're saying to do this and they're saying to do that. And I think if you are going to try different things, and just do like one at a time, so try their protocol first. If that doesn't work, try their protocol. If that doesn't work, try theirs. And that's probably the best way to do it. But it's like, what are you supposed to do? How are you supposed to navigate this crazy mad social media world when everybody's saying different things?
I know. Yeah, it can be really tricky. So now I just have two or three books that are my sort of go-to books.
Oh yeah.
I'll watch, you know, there's Raw Pet Medics on a Tuesday night. That's not just about raw feeding, that's about all sorts of different things. So I tend to stay away from the advisory groups now. Because the advice to a point is okay.
Yeah.
But it's fairly limited.
Yeah. I think if you're dealing with specialist issues, it can be quite limited.
It can be. And you, at the end of the day, you're talking about your dog. You know, it's a member of your family. It's a living, breathing creature. So go to someone who's actually qualified to give you that advice.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't go to a dog trainer for brain surgery, would you? You know, go to somebody who's actually qualified to give you that advice, and do your research about them. Check out their insurances. Check out their qualifications.
Give them a good
check over, because if they're worth their salt, like, you are totally open to me bombarding you with questions. You know, and that's absolutely fine. And if people aren't quite so open about that, I'd say run a mile.
But I think for me as well, I deal with people the way that I would like to be dealt with. And that's important. That's an important way that I live my life, because I, you know, I think if I struggle to trust anything, whether it's food, whether it's, you know, I'm so far down the rabbit hole that I question, like, if I'm buying something in the supermarket, you can guarantee that I am questioning that, you know, no matter what it is. And I'm like that with all aspects of my life. It's just who I am. And I've become worse since I've become a mother, which you do anyway. Like, you think you have anxiety about dogs, then you have a human baby, and it's sort of like a million times worse, in a good way, I suppose. But
take your word for it.
It is, trust me. Well, it is for me anyway. And So I like to be able to find out information, especially like if I want to book in with somebody or if I want to go somewhere. I like it if the information is accessible, because then I know if that person is willing to put that information for people to see, then they're confident in who they are, yeah, and confident in their ability, and they're not trying to hide anything or be something that they're not, which is really important when you form in a relationship, especially if somebody's going to put their trust in you to help them with their dog, like Absolutely. You have with me. And I think that is really, really important. And that is why I like to be as transparent as possible.
Yeah. Well, you get a relationship then that's built on trust, and it's a relationship that you can nurture. And
that's what it should be. Yeah,
it should be. And, I've made some amazing friends, and they'll be, there forever. And we're all brought together by this one passion. And that's just about, feeding our dogs better.
Feeding our dogs.
And it's not just the feeding. It's everything. So, the unnecessary vaccinations, necessary pumping them full of neurotoxins, in case, God forbid, they might get a flea or a tick. It is absolutely crazy. I mean, my vet has stopped now talking to me about boosters and diet. He's just stopped because he knows there's no point.
Is he not on board with it? He is actually.
The more we've spoken, the more open they've become. And I think one of the vets at our practice, I told them about the Raw Feeding Vet Society.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they have signed up to that now.
Sort
of part of that. And they're changing their approach totally at our practice. Like, one of the younger vets has gone off and done acupuncture. Another one of the young vets is going off studying behavioural issues and the impact of nutrition on behaviour, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting subject.
It is very interesting.
Yeah.
It's one of the areas that I find the most interesting, and it ties in with the microbiome as well.
Everything ties in.
I know. And I always say, because I have this ultimate dream to do a doctorate at some point. So I need to first get a master's before I can. Well, you don't have to have a master's to do a doctorate, do you, in some cases? But so I'm going to do a master's first, but I do have a goal in life to do a doctorate. And I do hope to do one on the microbiome and the link between nutrition and behavior in dogs. Like, that is just my dream. Obviously, it's going to take me a million years, but I think it is just such an amazing topic, and not enough people are shouting about it.
No. But when you're really driven, because obviously a doctorate, it's purely self-driven study, isn't it?
Research.
And I think if that is your natural mindset, it's not, master's is as far as I've got. I could never do a PhD because I haven't got that inquiring mind.
I have to a point,
but I get distracted too easily, and I'd still be doing it in my 70s. So
yeah, I know what you're saying. I think if I was to do it now, I would struggle because I've got a few other things that I'm working on at the minute. But I think maybe in 5 years, might
never say never.
Can do it at any age, I reckon that's what I'm going for anyway. So I'll let you know in 10 years.
Well, when you need some case studies for your PhD.
Yeah. Well, I might know a few anyway by then, might I? Yeah. So we'll be well equipped, won't we?
Yeah, I think so.
So what's the best thing about your natural journey with Milo and all your other dogs? Like, if you could just pick one thing, what's the best?
It's got to be the changes in this lovely dog.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still a bit of a reactive nightmare, but he is a different dog now to what he was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He's worked so hard and he's come so far, and his diet has played a massive part in that.
Yeah.
He's a real showstopper. People stop you in the street and say, what do you feed your dog? Nick comes back from walking him and he's like, someone else has asked me today what he's fed on. And I say, oh, God. You want to see my missus? She cuts up all sorts of dead body parts in the kitchen. And so people have this like momentary look of horror. And then he has to explain, oh, no, it is proper dog food, you know, it is dog food, he has a raw diet, and he sort of explains. But people get interested.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, that sounds interesting, and that sounds really nice. So his demeanour is just so much more chilled.
Yeah.
His teeth are amazing. I mean, they were good anyway. When he was on Mince's, I used a seaweed supplement.
Yeah.
Which was great. The abrasive nature on his teeth, absolutely great. He's not a dog who'll let you brush his teeth.
No.
Which is why we've always sort of given him the occasional raw meaty bone.
Yeah.
But even just in this last week, his canines, they were getting a little bit of staining at the top. That's gone.
They that's just look good. Better.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. We're still sort of on the finding out what the tolerance of the bone level is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've
you know, we're still on that, you know.
Yeah.
We've gone from the, you know, the house brick poos to the not so nice sloppy poos. But the last 2 or 3 days, everything's been perfect. His breath doesn't smell anymore. You know, people talk about dog breath. And people think dog breath is a natural phenomena. It isn't.
No,
it's because the gut's not right and it's coming back up the throat and it's the breathing it into your face. So, yeah, it's things like that. And then the other thing has got to be the people, you know, the people in the raw feeding community who are going to support you, are going to champion you and aren't going to, you know, be too one track about things. Oh, no, you can only feed this and you can't. You must never feed anything else.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to accept not everybody can do a full raw diet. You know, the more people we can get to even just adding some, you know, anything fresh.
Even just a raw egg.
Anything fresh. Yeah. Anything fresh. And then hopefully you take those people on the journey with you and then they turn into sort of
kind of a lecture in the
kitchen. Like me, yeah. Covered in blood, picking bits of blitzed offal out of your hair and, you know, wiping the liver off your glasses. Which I have to say is a lot more pleasant to the blitzed fish.
Yeah, I can imagine it would be. There's something about fish. I am grateful that I feed the fish in their whole form because I just don't like dealing with fish. And I always chop it. Well, to be fair, Barney can deal with it quite large pieces anyway because he needs something to chew because he's like Milo, he will inhale his food and it's literally gone in a number of seconds if I just give him like mince or whatever. Like I minced some of the rabbit backs yesterday and gave him those and he literally just licked them straight off the plate and they were gone within like 3 seconds. But I can't remember what I was saying now. What was I even saying?
We were talking about him having to have chunky things and fish and you've got to think about
fish. That's it. But Boris, he's got dodgy teeth, Boris, and he's missing quite a few of his teeth. So he just prefers smaller pieces. Like he's such a little boy. You know what I mean? He's the cutest thing. He's such a gentleman as well. So I always have to cut the fish into smaller pieces for Boris, and I just love doing it when they're part frozen because there's just no because fish are just I don't know if it must be the smell. I don't know why it is.
It's just a bit slimy.
It is, isn't it? It is, yeah.
And that's what Milo doesn't like. Anything that's like a slimy or a sloppy texture is not keen.
Like have you ever cut up a whole tripe?
No.
Not that you ever will because you don't feed it, but yeah, that's an experience.
No, but my dad, amongst a few other career choices, he did used to be a butcher. So I have seen
so you see what
the animal
like
in its whole form being stripped out into all its various.
Oh, that's why you don't mind doing it then.
I find it totally fascinating. But no, when I was younger, we weren't allowed to chop the meat because it was, obviously it's not really safe, is it, for a 5-year-old to be chopping meat. But, you know, Nick keeps saying he's going to get me some chainmail gloves because I am a bit slapdash.
Yeah. Well, I know that's the thing, isn't it? I think Esme is fully aware that the dogs eat a raw diet and she knows what is what. Like, because I want her to be aware of what it is that we're feeding, that it is an animal. And, you know, because I give them quail, and I actually chop the quail up into smaller pieces. So yeah. She likes to watch, though. You know, she likes to watch me do it. So she'll stand in her countertop stool and watch me prepare the food. I mean, she's only two, so there's no chance she's even touching a cleaver anyway. But that's the thing with kids, isn't it? Until she has the ability to understand that she needs to wash her hands immediately after touching the raw meat, she'll not be allowed to touch it, because that's the thing with kids, they don't make those connections, do they?
Everything goes in the mouth.
In the mouth, yeah. And she's likely to touch something and then forget and then like put it in her mouth. So she's allowed to watch and learn and be aware of what we feed.
It's brilliant. I've got a friend called Anna. She's got a daughter, a young daughter, called Ruby. And she's a real little queen of raw feeding. I think she's about 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And she's brilliant. And Anna's got quite a few ferrets as well.
Yeah.
And Ruby will quite happily, you know, raw feed the ferrets. She's really, really good.
And that's because she's been brought up around it, isn't it? So she's learned from Anna as well. Yeah, it is. And I know they do have this big thing about risks around raw meat and kids, but it's the same with anything with risks and kids. As long as a parent is doing what they're supposed to be doing and being responsible and keeping the kid or the children safe in that environment, you can expose them to any kind of risk as such, as long as it's controlled, you know.
Absolutely.
As long as you're there to support them.
Yeah, I was reading something the other day, and it was about raw feeding, obviously. And there was something in there. They were talking about young children being involved and, you know, about people talking about these massive risks and, you know, you're going to kill my child with E. coli and stuff like that. And they'd actually looked into it, and children pick up more bugs and stomach upsets and all the rest of it in daycare than they do in the family environment, in the kitchen helping mum prepare steak for dinner, or, you know.
Yeah, and it's true. I mean, Esme doesn't go to nursery now because I've decided that I want to absorb as much of her as possible. Aww. So I keep her at home with me. I mean, one day she's going to grow up. She isn't going to call me mama. She's going to call me mum, or, you know, maybe something else. I don't know. Cat. Kids always go through a phase. And I want to absorb everything while she's small. But she did go to nursery earlier this year for a little while, and she was there for a total of 6 weeks, and out of those 6 weeks she was at home for 3 sick, because she kept getting sick from nursery. And it's the same with all kids who go to nursery. Ask any parent, they're always in and out, and you still have to pay for nursery if your kid's sick.
It's so expensive. Yeah, nurseries and primary schools, they're nasty germ-ridden places, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's just one of those things. I mean, she does go to a local playgroup near where we live, and she picked up a sickness bug, and she's been ill for 2 weeks from it, and that's just a playgroup, and it's just one of those things. But when she didn't go to nursery, she's never sick, and she lives in this house with these dogs, and these dogs have been raw fed since before she was born.
Yeah, and they're probably, you know, eating their dinner, then they give her a cheeky lick on the face, and... You know what kids are like, the hands go in everything, and then the hands go straight in their mouths. And if she's healthy, then
she's strong. Fine, isn't she? She is, yeah, she loves it as well. She sings Hop Little Bunny when the rabbit ears come out, and
that is quite amusing. And I saw her the other night singing Hop, 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 Hop.
She loves it. She's obsessed with the dogs, though. Like, she loves the dogs. She just lives and breathes for what they are doing, like, and she loves it when they fuss her, you know what I mean? She's just all, and the cat, to be fair,
cats are a different thing, aren't they, though?
My cat's not as warm because he's a farm cat, so he's so independent.
He doesn't
need us for anything.
Cats don't need us at all, whereas dogs, I think if you've got a dog in your life, they just bring so much to your your whole well-being is just better with a dog.
Cat people would say the same, though. Like, cat people who are more for cats than dogs will feel that way about cats.
Yeah, I don't tend to see too many people romping around the secure dog parks with their cats, though.
Well, having a great time. Some people don't let the cats outside, though.
No, I know.
So that's maybe why, because they're indoor cats.
Yeah, that's not really. Well, I don't think that's a natural way for a cat, but there you go.
Well, no, but if I had a cat, that's what I would be like, because I'd be scared that they would get hurt if they went out. But I didn't get. The farm cat came with the farm, so we didn't actually choose to have Billy Bob. He was already here.
He was just there.
Yeah, and who we bought the house off said, can he stay? Because they were moving to a housing estate, and obviously he's used to being in the middle of nowhere where there's no cars. He's got no concept of risk near cars. You know what I mean? He's just, he's like, yeah, and there's a car, I'm not going to move, you know. Another stubborn monkey in my life, but anyway. Right, so if you had anything to say to other pet parents who may be struggling either on their journey or, you know, thinking of going raw or fresh feeding, what would you say to them?
First of all, don't panic about it. You know, it's not difficult.
Yeah, that's
a good one. It's not this massive thing that you know, it's not rocket science. It really isn't. If you really need to, find yourself a good nutritionist who understands all the different types of feeding your dog, and who is going to give you the best advice that is well-rounded, research-based, someone who's up to date with their knowledge, and has got a good reputation, I'd say.
Yeah.
And it's easy to find people now because Instagram, you know, Facebook, it's so accessible now to find somebody.
Yeah.
And just don't let yourself get overwhelmed by it all. And if you do feel overwhelmed, just stop, take a step back. You're not doing anybody any harm if you go back to what you were doing previously for a little while you do a little bit more research or a little bit more, you know, looking into things.
Or just take a bit more time to prepare yourself mentally for the changes. Yeah, I think this is one of the things as well. People feel like it's such a big commitment, and it is such a big commitment. It is, especially if you want to do the preparing of the food yourself. I mean, the easiest way to transition into fresh is to get the prepared meals, whether that's cooked or raw. Obviously, I prefer to do DIY. You know my reasons why. Yeah. I like to have total control over every single ingredient, and that's why that I prefer to do it that way. But the easiest way to start doing it is just to kind of get the pre-made, or just start with a raw egg. But I mean, once you've made that commitment, it's not like you're getting married to it. If you try it and you just think, oh, it's too much, you can, like, who's to say you can't change, unless you're surrounded by a group of people who are going to judge you for that.
Well, that's it. And also, I'd say if your dog doesn't take to it immediately,
just give it time.
Just don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, yes, it's a fact of life that it's a natural diet for them. It's what they're designed to eat, but they take a little bit of time to adjust sometimes.
Especially,
don't panic. You know, don't worry if your dog doesn't have liver for a week. It's not going to die. You know, it's not going to get this awful.
Yeah, Philippa.
Yeah, Philippa. You know, where did you pick that one up from? Just don't worry about it.
Yeah, the thing is with dogs, you know, they are super resilient, and it takes months for deficiencies to arise. So that being said, our dogs can afford for us to make a few mistakes while we are getting to grips with new types of diet. Now, obviously, some vitamins and minerals deficiencies and problems can arise quicker than others. It's usually the fat soluble ones like vitamin D or vitamin A that you have to be really careful with. But the main thing is you've got at least a few weeks leeway to kind of ease yourself into it. And if your dog, you know, if you're going for a balance over time approach anyway, then you're laughing. So yeah, good. I like that one.
Just give it a go, I would say.
Yeah, good.
And if you find a good supplier, like Helena at Poochie Park, she's qualified in canine nutrition. She really knows her stuff. So if you're going to buy your dog raw food, go somewhere like that where the person who is selling it to you is selling you the stuff that's actually going to be of benefit to your dog,
yeah,
and not just because it's what they've been told. You know, you've got to get the right advice.
The thing is as well, Helena offers free advice.
Yeah, she does.
To all of her customers. So if you are thinking about switching to raw and you don't know what to buy, just contact Helena either on Instagram or, you know, give the shop a ring. She always puts the numbers on a post. She's more than willing to talk through everything with you on the phone to get you feeding raw as well, which is amazing. She doesn't charge for it. She does it for free because she just wants dogs to eat fresh food.
She's passionate. She wants people to get the best out of their raw feeding experiences.
And that's amazing. So I think that's one of the main things. Don't be scared to pick up the phone and have that conversation, because you will feel reassured at the end of it.
Yeah. And to do that and never expect anything back from someone, I think that says an awful lot about her and her approach and her, you know, her whole character and what she's about, really.
She's amazing.
Yeah. So if you do go to Helena and you pick her brains and she spends a lot of time with you, place an order. Place an order.
And use my referral link.
Yeah. New customers only.
oh, no, all jokes aside, she's brilliant. She's brilliant.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. Okay.
And Pinchy Park is 6 tomorrow.
Oh, is it tomorrow?
Happy birthday, Pinchy.
Well, that's today. Yeah, that'll be today when we air the podcast, because the podcast's airing today. Tomorrow.
Well, of course, it's Tuesday tomorrow,
happy birthday, Pootie Pack.
I know.
Wowzers. 6. Wow. That's amazing. Okay, so do you have any plans for the future in regards to your raw and natural feeding journey? Any goals, any aspirations?
Oh, I just want all the dogs, you know. As many dogs as I can, and they're all going to, like, be eating DIY, and I am going to just dress in chainmail for the rest of my life.
You'll be able to just, like, get a full deer at a time and then just have at it and feed them all.
I'm going to have one of those, you know, those great big Jeeps with the full-on, all the machinery that's at the back, and you just, like, hoik up the whole animal. I'm going to start going out poaching and gamekeep, you know, go and catch a few things.
It sounds
myself.
Great.
Yeah.
I'll be there to hold your hand when you need it as well, so don't worry about that.
Yeah.
And steer you down another
new night out, that, couldn't it? Pat and Phil go lamping.
Oh, don't. I know. It comes to something when that's the type of thing that you're kind of looking forward to doing.
Yeah.
Okay, so if anybody wants to have a sneaky peek at Milo, because he's the most beautiful boy, then you can find him on Instagram. What is your Instagram handle? What's Milo's? All right, do you need me to tell you?
He's a Rottie named Milo, but there's a few underscores in there, I think.
A_Rottie_named_Milo. And it's Rottie with an IE.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I will put a link directly to his Instagram profile in the show notes anyway, so people can follow along and jump on, you know, catch up with your journey and see where you're going, because you do post about his journey on Instagram,
and I mean a year ago, Kat, I didn't even know what Instagram was. People used to laugh at me because I had no idea about Instagram, and at Christmas we had 300 followers at Christmas. And then just over New Year, we were up to 500, and now he's just over 1,500 now.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, and it's all people who, you know, are interested in what he's eating and what he's doing. Yeah.
Yeah, good. Yes, that means you're inspiring the people. That's good. So continue to do so.
Yes, he gets some lovely feedback, bless him.
Oh, he's beautiful. Well, Philippa, I think that's probably about
everything
we covered, but thanks for being a guest on the podcast.
You're welcome.
And if you ever want to come back on, if you ever got any new developments in the life of Milo, then just let me know. There's always
a
space.
We'll do an update
when he's finished his energetic diet.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Well, everybody else who's listening, if you do want to follow along with Milo and Philippa's journey, be sure to check out the link in the show notes. It'll take you right there. And we hope you've enjoyed the episode, just chatting about basically loving how to feed our dogs raw food. And we will catch up with you next time. Thanks again, Philippa.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another great episode of the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. Don't forget to check out the caption for any links discussed here today. And please, if you enjoyed the show, follow along and listen for free on your favourite podcast app. If you have any questions or would like to share your story, feel free to email me at mydogmademedoitnaturally@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Purpose of this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be substituted as advice from a veterinarian or other professional. It does not form a client relationship with me, the host, or any guest speakers, and any information is not intended to and does not diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. And my guests express our own views, thoughts, and opinions as individuals, and the podcast neither endorses or opposes the views, products, or services discussed here. If your pet is ill, always seek advice from your veterinarian. I am not a veterinarian, and I do not treat disease or offer medical advice.